Thank you and good morning. And what this project really boils down to is the question of where do the fungi and the necromass go when the fungi dies? And we started on this project because there's been an increasing interest in the amount of carbon that goes into the stable carbon pools from underground sources, such as roots and root exudates. So we took this one step further by saying, what happens to fungi once they grow, once they die, and then they go into the soil carbon pool? So to give you an idea of where the fungal necromass or the dead material comes from, this is the current conceptual model of fungal necromass that was produced by Fernandez and his colleagues in 2015. So atmospheric CO2 can be fixed in photosynthesis, carbon allocation can go to the roots, and from there it can support mycorrhizal fungi that when they turn over will produce necromass that contributes to the soil organic matter pool. A second way that necromass can be produced is that fungi will grow and decompose in leaf litter. This will then produce a lot of fungal necromass that produces carbon to go into the soil organic matter pool. Currently, estimates are that there are about 5,800 kilograms of fungal tissue per hectare of material, soil. And it's considered to decompose really very slowly because the wall contains glucosamine. It also has melanin, and both of those are considered to retard the decomposition of fungal tissues. And more recently, there were studies that suggested that more than 50% of the soil organic matter pool came from fungal tissues and also for root tissues. But the big questions really are today is, what is that linkage between the necromass and the soil organic matter pool? What is the rate of decomposition and how fast does the fungal necromass turn over? So we had three questions that we wanted to address in our study. Firstly, obviously, how fast does the necromass decompose? Does this rate vary with the fungal tissue or the fungal species that we're actually looking at? Who are the decomposers of the necromass? In other words, who are the hard workers? And thirdly, which fungal macromolecules might remain? In other words, what's lost? What might remain in order to contribute to the soil organic matter pool? So our approach was pretty simple. We managed to isolate a number of fungi from the soil, grew them up in liquid culture, put them in some fairly cute little metal packets that only let other fungi in the soil grow into the packets, but basically kept fine roots out. The soil packets then went actually into the soil in these lovely arrays with flags, and it looked really very pretty. Once the residues came out over a period of anywhere between 0 days and probably 56 days, we then had a look at the obvious components. In other words, what amount of mass remained? Was there any evidence of chitinolytic enzyme activity on the tissue? Second question was, what was the fungal composition of the decomposer community? And we did this through high-throughput sequencing. And finally, for the third question, we used FTIR and GCMS to work out the molecular composition of our remaining necromass. Our first question was, how fast does necromass decompose? The answer is remarkably quickly. So in the scanning electron microscope images, on the left you'll see day zero, which is this nice tight array of fungal tissue. The hyphae are all very closely kept together. Even the second day in the soil, a lot of the matrix is gradually being decomposed by fungi in the soil. By day eight, we're left with this remarkably skeletal-looking apparatus. When we have a look at it in much more detail, there is what we call a hyphal ghost. So you can see the walls of the fungi. You can see these dark little blebs on the surface. These are actually melanin flakes that are remaining after the rest of the tissue has been rapidly decomposed. So these are our leftovers that we're seeing in the little packets. Numerically, more than 80% of the mass of the tissue is lost in the first 9 days in the soil. This is a very rapid decomposition, particularly over the first 5 days in the soil. And it keeps on going on, so for a longer time, so that there's maybe only about 18% of the original necromass that's actually left in the packets. A lot of this has to do with the enzyme activity of the decomposing microbes. So we assayed the little necromass for NAG activity, which is supposed to be indicative of chitinolytic activity by microbes in the soil. And what happens is, as there is a rapid decomposition of our necromass tissue, there's a rapid increase in the amount of NAG activity that we could find in the packets on the tissue itself. After about 24 days, this activity drops precipitously, and at this point we have no real significant change in the necromass itself. The other question was, do all fungi decompose at the same rates? So we had four different taxa that we looked at. We did the same analyses on them. And what we find is that not all fungi are created equal. So some will decompose much more readily than others, like the Fusarium, which decomposes fairly rapidly in the first 2 days. There are other ones that tend to decompose much more slowly. So the Hydnum that we had collected decomposed very slowly in the first 2 days, but then it was a rapid decline in necromass. And then the other two taxa, the Xylaria and the Nascomycota, were somewhat intermediate, and they had a very gradual decline in the necromass over time. This doesn't seem to be related to the level of melanization in the actual tissue itself, because the Hydnum was non-melanized but had a very slow start to decomposition, whereas the other three taxa were melanized and they showed very different rates of decomposition. Who are the degraders of our necromass? And so this is our high-throughput sequencing data using Fusarium as our initial necromass. So Fusarium is the nice yellow color. You can see that obviously day zero we have lots of Fusarium in the community. By day one, we're already getting some kind of colonization of the tissue by other fungi. These are Morturella, and we called them Morturella A because there are six fairly well-defined taxa that we knew of. By day two, we have Mucor, and we also have the same original Morturella from day one. By day four, however, we're having another collection of fungi coming into the community. That's the red down the bottom there. These are another set of Morturella taxa. We haven't been able to pin identities on them. They're so far unresolved and will require a lot more sequencing to find out their specific identity. At the same time, we still have our existing set of Morturella. We have Mucor. There are a number of other fungi that come in from the Basidiomycota, but they form a very small component of the microbial pool. Day 8 through day 50, all we have is Morturella taking over the community. There's still evidence that the Fusarium tissue is there. It's the yellow stripe that persists all the way through to day 50, but most of the tissue has been taken over by our microbial decomposers. These are the Morturellas, Mucors, and these are all members of the Zygomycota, and it's perhaps not surprising that we're getting so many of them coming in to do decomposition, since they're known to be very chitinolytic. Which molecules remain after decomposition? So we can say with pretty much certainty that it's straight-chain fatty acids. They either maintain a steady concentration, in this case the C24, which is outlined in the green down the bottom, or they increase over time, which is the C18 in the orange there. We also have an increase in peptidoglycans over the period of decomposition. So residues that contain linked polysaccharide and amide functional groups. And we did an FTIR peak area ratio of glucosamine relative to total amide 1 and 2 regions. And what we find is that the control stays relatively constant over the number of days that we have our experiment, but degraded tissue shows a rapid increase in the amount of peptidoglycan in the material. Which molecules might be lost? Well, we can say that most macromolecules that we assayed for were lost during the decomposition process, and in actual fact they show that very typical decline in macromolecular composition in line with the decomposition profile. The one that went up and then down was ergosterol. And so there's a rapid increase in ergosterol concentrations in the first few days that the necromass goes into the soil. And this is consistent with the colonization of the tissue by the Morturella. So fungi are putting extra tissue onto fungal material, and there's more ergosterol coming out in our analysis. So conclusions. Our necromass turnover is very dynamic. It occurs much more rapidly than we thought. There's a very large flux of carbon coming from the necromass that goes into the soil. It's used by other microbes, and there's only a very small proportion that's left over that can be considered recalcitrant to go into the soil organic matter pool. So we probably have to change our idea of the conceptual model that was originally produced, in that the necromass itself is being turned over quickly. It's been used by other microbes who themselves are probably going to turn over in various ways to contribute either recalcitrant or soluble carbon to the microbial community in the soil. The actual smaller recalcitrant component are fatty acids and peptidoglycans. We're not sure exactly where they go in the soil, but we're assuming that they're probably going to be attached somewhere to the mineral fraction in the soil. And some of our previous speakers have addressed that in looking at iron and manganese accumulation and stabilisation of organic carbon. So we think that's where it goes. Our next studies will be obviously addressing where exactly does the carbon go, where exactly is it going to be stabilised. And so I'd like to end by thanking the people that actually helped us do the work out in the field by digging holes and putting little packets in and pulling them out. And that was Fielsa, Allison and Ben, and they spent a lot of time with little packets. And our research was supported by numerous places, example the American Chemical Society, the Chicago Botanic Gardens, Northwestern University, the Initiative for Sustainability and Energy at Northwestern, and the Research Experiences for Undergraduates program, which supported Fielsa, Allison and Ben in their undergraduate training and experiences over the last two summers. I'd like to thank you all for being here. I'd be happy to take questions. We used, the question was, what kind of methodology did we use for the GCMS? We took the actual necromass from the tissue that we collected in the packets. We used a TMAH accelerated decomposition and then analysis.
So,
Yeah, so it was directly tissue plus. Yeah. When you mean by their interaction with the necromass on the necromass?
Well, there's theories around that the ectomycorrhizae fungi and conifer system decrease decomposition through their impact on the saprophytic fungi.
Right. We didn't find that there was any linkage between the two. And there wasn't any evidence that any ectomycorrhizal fungi were actually active decomposers of the tissue as well. One of the theories has been put forth that ectomycorrhizal fungi are capable of doing some level of carbon degradation and turnover of litter materials, but we didn't find anything in our analyses that would suggest that any ectomycorrhizal fungi were present or doing any of that kind of activity. We didn't assay for bacteria. Our analyses were only for fungi because they were considered to be producing stronger chitinolytic enzymes than bacteria could actually produce.
One final question?
One comment. I really liked your presentation. It's really clear and written very well.
Thank you.
So, one question. I want to be here, get educated. I'm not sure what's the significance of the necromass, and also what the implication of this research could be.
Okay. The importance of the necromass is that there is a lot of it in the soil. There's a lot of fungal tissue that exists in the soil, so it's thousands of kilograms per hectare that you would expect in the top 10 centimetres of the soil. The problem is we don't know where it goes after it dies. So the importance is it could be contributing to long-term soil carbon pools, stabilisation or storage, or it could be one of those major fluxes that perhaps it produces a lot of CO2, which you don't exactly want if you're looking for stabilisation of carbon. And we're also looking for the kinds of molecules that would be produced by the necromass. In other words, are they going to be stabilised or have the potential to be stabilised? Or are they just going to be lost and utilised, say, by other fungi, other microbes, or are they simply contributing to excess CO2 coming out of the soil? Yeah.